You are tuned in to People's Tribune Radio. I'm Kenny Shook.
So this is a victory for any social justice activist, for the immigrant rights activists, for the environmentalists, for the workers' rights people. This is a victory. This is a victory for Mr. Lee Keng Hey, who demonstrated to the world what the impact of World Trade Organization is on the people.
People's Tribune Radio is brought to you by the League of Revolutionaries for a New America. The League also publishes the newspaper, People's Tribune, Tribuno del Pueblo. Contact and ordering information will be provided later on in the program. On this edition of PTR, correspondent Mike Thornton brings the World Trade Organization's fifth ministerial to the airwaves. In this part one of a two-part series, Thornton begins by describing the heated protests that took place at kilometer zero of La Zona Hotelera.
Los compañeros, vamos a destruir, vamos a terminar de acabar, vamos a acabar con esa malla, maldita malla que impusieron, que ya no podemos tener ni siquiera la libertad.
It appears a member of the South Korean delegation has had a heart attack, falling off of the fence. Apparently has had a heart attack. People are throwing things over the chain link fence at the police. Koreans have lit their altar that they've been carrying on fire and rammed it now against the fence. People, it's burning against the fence. People are throwing things over the fence. Cloths that are on the fence are now on fire. The police are holding up their shields. They're being pelted by paint. And now police are beginning to respond by, it looks like, spraying tear gas over the fence. People are moving back out of the way. And it is becoming an increasingly tense situation here. As people are throwing bricks and various articles over the fence, sticks. And now the Korean altar that was carried during the parade yesterday, that they've been ramming against the fence, is now on fire against the fence. And police are beginning to spray some sort of foam, apparently trying to put out the various signs that are on the fence, trying to put them out, since they are now laying across the top of the chain link fence and burning here at the Zona Hotelera in Cancun, Mexico. Police and demonstrators are actually battling each other now, throwing rocks. Sometimes police are throwing rocks and sticks back at the demonstrators. And it's almost in some ways like a boxing match, only armed with sticks, clubs. Now pieces of metal, pieces of police are being seriously pelted by objects. Demonstrators surge. They've actually taken over and confiscated a couple of police shields. Demonstrators surge, throw a few strikes at the police. Police surge, throw a few strikes at the demonstrators. Now, people are climbing over the fence. But one section of the fence is now down. And people have yet to begin streaming through it. But certainly, the police barrier is beginning to break down. More and more people are beginning to move through the barrier of the fence. An officer has been caught, and people are attempting to attack him. people are now tearing the fence down.
Agricultura, queremos que la OMC salga de la agricultura. Estamos defendiendo los derechos de la soberanía alimentaria de nuestros pueblos, nuestro maíz, nuestro campesino.
The demonstrators are pulling down more and more of the fence, being urged to pull the fence down and have everyone go in by speakers from a nearby truck.
Esta reja va cayendo. En estos momentos, la solidaridad derrumba las rejas impuestas. Vamos todos a terminar de destruir esta ignominia que hoy en las calles de Cancún nos han impuesto para proteger a los que hoy se ponen de acuerdo para el exterminio campesino. Porque queremos seguir viviendo, porque no queremos vivir encarcelados, porque no queremos vivir con rejas. Ayuden todos. Todos a empujar. Esta reja ya va cayendo. Estamos a unos cuantos momentos, a unos minutos de que finalmente la reja de la ignominia caiga para dar paso a nuestras ideas libertarias, para dar paso a nuestra lucha que se globaliza hoy aquí en Cancún.
Demonstrators are now face to face with a section of the fence down with riot-clad police and plexiglass shields, beating shields with sticks. A demonstrator just broke a stick over a policeman's helmet. Leaders of the campesino movement are coming in to, I think, try to calm the situation down. There's a rainstorm is making its way through right now. Campesino leaders are putting themselves in between the demonstrators and the police, attempting to stop people from physically assaulting the police who are standing in riot gear with their shields. And now a major downpour is coming through the area.
Friends of the Villa Campesina, please stop. We now have an agreement to pass the barrier. Please stop. We have an agreement to pass the barrier.
You say that there's an agreement now the police are going to let us pass?
Now that we've more or less thrown down the barrier, they finally have negotiated allowing us to pass this first security perimeter. So hopefully the campesinos and indigenous people here in this march will be able to get at least now to the next level of security towards the convention center.
This is just a reminder that you are listening to People's Tribune Radio. Correspondent Mike Thornton is covering the many aspects of the WTO 5th Ministerial held in Cancun, Mexico.
We would soon learn two things at kilometer zero at the beginning of the Zona Hotelera in Cancun, Mexico. One, that the agreement Peter Rossett of Food First just told us about would soon fall through. And two, that Lee Kyung-hai, the South Korean farmer we thought had a heart attack while on top of the barricades, had actually committed suicide to protest the World Trade Organization. This on September 10th, 2003, as the World Trade Organization opened its 5th Ministerial Conference in Cancun, Mexico. I'm your host, Mike Thornton, and we hope you'll stay tuned. 8 days prior, I had come to Cancun to participate in a global exchange reality tour and then cover the 5th Ministerial meetings of the World. trade organization. I had covered the now famous battle in Seattle in 1999, but this time would be very different because I'd be going to the Yucatan Peninsula of southern Mexico. I'd have an opportunity to see firsthand what effect the policies of corporate-led economic globalization being promulgated by the World Trade Organization were having on people outside the United States. And I can only say that in many cases, they're simply devastating. There couldn't have been a more appropriate place for the World Trade Organization to hold its summit than Cancun, Mexico. Cancun was created as a tourist destination some 30 years ago. Prior to that, it had been a collection of fishing villages located on the Caribbean Ocean. The city is basically divided into two sections: El Centro, where many of the working people of Cancun reside, and then there's the Zona Hotelera, which is made up of opulent hotels, high-priced restaurants, and other tourist traps. The city exists to serve the Zona, and it's almost the perfect example of the fully privatized world that the World Trade Organization and its policies support. With enough money, you can live in royal splendor with literally everything at your fingertips. Without it, life is a daily struggle for survival. And while I saw many examples of that juxtaposition while I was in southern Mexico, there was perhaps no clearer example of it than the morning I spent in Valle Verde. Valle Verde is a small village that's located only 12 kilometers outside of Cancun and yet has no water or electricity. Many of the people who live there work at jobs located in the Zona Hotelera. Since most of the construction taking place in the Zona had been halted because of the WTO meetings, even though they had jobs, some of the people in Valle Verde had been unable to work for as long as 10 days. And as you can imagine, no work means no money, and no money means no food. And it was the very issue of food that brought me to Valle Verde. In the press area of the Cancun Convention Center, where the World Trade Organization ministerial meetings are being held, press releases of one sort or another from one group or another are constantly being handed out. I got one inviting journalists to come with a group of free trade advocates who said they were going to be bringing food to Valle Verde and that all of that food would be genetically engineered. When arriving in Valle Verde, we were greeted by the sounds of laughing children coming out of a ramshackle schoolhouse in the middle of this dilapidated village. It didn't take long for things to change.
It's not the GM is the solution to all the world's problems, but the GM can be helpful, is one of many tools in the toolbox for improving agriculture, and it shouldn't be simply because it is new.
Gregory Conko is with the Competitive Enterprise Institute.
I'd like you to record this. How did you decide that you were going to give GMO to this community? Is this community aware that they're receiving, that they're now test animals for the GMs?
They're not test animals. This is the same sorts of food that are purchased in and around Cancun every day. This is food that was a
GM food that you brought here specifically to have a press conference and stick this food down the throats of the people here.
We're
it's
not
very
sticking.
Obviously staged.
We're not sticking food down anyone's throat. This is food that is available freely. This is the food that has been distributed by La Ciudad de Alegria for months and years previously, and that this is the kind of food that has been distributed throughout the area.
Bullshit.
Long before we came into the city.
You're absolutely misusing people here who are poor and using them as test animals for GM food without their knowledge. And I think this is absolutely
Let me get your name, please.
My name is Mai, and I'm from the U.S., and I'm here to protest this because I think this is absolutely disgusting.
We were advised by the local charitable organization with which we're working on which food products to purchase. Most of them are not genetically modified. Some of them, the maize products, probably do include GM ingredients, but these are the kinds of things that they've been eating for years.
In addition to members of the Competitive Enterprise Institute and other organizations coming to Valle Verde for a photo opportunity, a number of anti-GMO activists made their way to the village as well, and the dusty village square became an ideological battleground.
In order to get the picture, you have propaganda for the transgenic corn. We're going to hand out the food. We're not... Back of the truck.
Are you actually going to give this food out?
Or? We're the ones who are giving it out. The Collegians for a Constructive Tomorrow, a Washington, D.C.-based nonprofit public interest group.
I just want to know why members of your organization went over and tore down these folks' sign. Don't they have a right to say what they want to say, too?
They are not with our organization. No persons with our insurance did that.
No one who's not with your organization has the right to post
No, they have a sign. No, they have an organization. We did not tear down their sign. I did not tear down their sign.
I didn't say you tore down their sign, but I saw somebody tore
down their sign. They shouldn't be tearing down any signs.
If somebody in the orange that tore down their sign, we will confront them and tell them they shouldn't have done that.
Apparently that's the message. Just videotape. Get videotape of the food being handed out. And don't pay attention to anything that's inconvenient or problematic appears to be the watchword by the Competitive Enterprise Institute here in Valley Verde today.
My name is Cyril Boynes. I'm Director of International Affairs for the same organization, CORE. This is not the first time I've done something like this. And I've seen something like this to have a lot of meaning in Liberia, in Uganda, Nigeria. In South Africa, Nigeria, and where I'm from, the Virgin Islands. This looks like a village that I grew up in the Virgin Islands. And I'll never forget the day when some people, you know, we had a cornmeal and our fish. They brought me some Kool-Aid and some cereal and some apples. And that changed my life. They didn't come every day, but it gave me an idea of what was available. And I don't know what my parents did. I was too young. I was about 6 years old, but I'll never forget that. This is not a panacea. What we hope is to create a model that, sort of like a paradigm, that other people can follow. We're touching the people. I'll be back here next year again. I'm going to find me a family that I'm going to relate to throughout for the rest of my life here.
Let me ask you this. I mean, certainly feeding people is a good thing. Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Feeding people is a good thing. Can't argue with that. But why the emphasis on genetically modified food? Why that emphasis?
It's not an emphasis so much on genetically modified food. It's an emphasis on letting people have choices. We're trying to anti-demonize genetically modified food and allow people of the developing world to have the same choice that Americans exercise every day.
But the press release that was handed out at the World Trade Organization yesterday specifically said all the food that would be brought here was genetically altered in one way or another.
There's so much food that people are not even aware of that is genetically engineered or genetically manipulated one way or the other. People have a belief that certain food is organic and they have elements such as oil, corn oil, that is in it that is genetically altered or genetically modified. The question is, what is more important? A theoretical, she was talking about, you have to wait some 20 years, it will be proven that this. People are starving right now, not 20 years from now, right now.
You know,
why don't they hungry? Why don't they hungry? Because their traditional agriculture doesn't survive.
Yes, because you have contaminated their traditional agriculture. Monsanto has contaminated their traditional agriculture. None of those brands carry anything with Monsanto. It has a Kellogg's thing that I can see, or it has something else, something Mexican that I can see. I don't know if those companies are owned by Monsanto or anybody else. I'm not interested. I'm only interested when I ask these people that do they recognize these brands. They said they recognize these brands because they are Mexican brands. They've been buying it all the time.
Sí. Y usted sabe quién es esa persona? No. He says that he knows that they were told by one particular person, like they were invited by somebody to come here, and that this person told them that they should come to this community because it's a very poor community, but he doesn't know who that person is.
And he's from this community?
Yes.
Can you just give his name?
No, puede dar su nombre, por favor, pero si no quiere, está bien, tampoco. También.
Mario Vázquez Vázquez.
¿Sí? ¿Sí? ¿Cómo?
Mario Vázquez Vázquez.
Mario Vázquez Vázquez. His name is Mario Vázquez. He said, I don't understand why they feel like they need to come and step on us. It's humiliating.
Did he have any opinion on whether it's GM food or not?
Yeah, we were just asking him earlier what he thought about the fact that you know that this might be GM food, and he said that he thinks it's disgusting. First of all, because they've come, like he said, these companies have come and stolen Mexican corn, because you know that the old Mayan fable is that this is the original home of corn, right? And that the Mayans are the people of the corn. And that they've come and they've stolen their food and they've taken it north and they've manipulated it and they've modified it and now are sending it back to them. And he thinks that it's an abuse, and what they're trying to do here is that they're trying to manipulate them and use them for their own gain, and that in the end they get nothing from it except a bag of food that they don't know is safe.
One of the things that keeps being said over and over out here by some people is that Monsanto is funding this, or at least contributing
to the funding to the, of this. Is that happening, yes or no? Monsanto or any of these other companies that are involved in profiting from genetic engineering of food have nothing, no investment in this happening whatsoever.
That is true. They have no involvement, no investment. They, as far as I know, they don't even know that this is happening.
Monsanto doesn't have nothing to do with this?
That's correct. Nothing at all.
Not for Monsanto or maybe another group of lobbyists of the Congress, maybe. I don't know.
In the past, my organization, I'll be honest, has gotten some money from Monsanto. Very small amounts, but not recently. And
how not recently?
Not in the past 18 months.
Did you say you've gotten money from Monsanto?
What did Monsanto give you money for? Why did they do that?
My organization does work on a lot of different regulatory issues. I have to assume that they thought that our work on GM foods was valuable, worthy of their support. We don't take money to do specific projects. We set our own agenda, and we encourage people to give us money. At some point, I'm sure Monsanto decided that they thought what we did was worthy of their support.
You work primarily on deregulation issues?
That's correct.
And what's your name, please?
My name is Gregory Conko, C-O-N-K-O.
The organization that Mr. Conko represents, as we noted earlier, is the Competitive Enterprise Institute. This specific project was being sponsored by an organization known as CFACT. There were several young people wearing CFACT t-shirts in Valley Verde that day, and interestingly, they seemed to have little idea how they got there.
See, I don't know the name of them, but I can show you somebody who works with them, and you can find their exact name. But we got in touch with them, and they work here on a regular basis. This is the food that they recommended bringing, that they give to these people regularly.
What is CFACT? What is that?
Well, the college part that we're with is the Collegians for a Constructive Tomorrow, and it's a group that is very much, it's an environmentalist group as well, but we're interested more in free trade and that aspect of bringing people up to prosperity, and that's the best environmental, you know, help is that when people have prosperity, they take better care of the earth and better care of the environment, and we think that's the approach to use. We just, you know, met up with this group here that works with them, and we admit that we don't know everything these people are going through because we don't live here and we don't see them every day, but the charity that's here does, and they work with them on a regular basis, and so we kind of trusted them that they know the best approach and what to do and what to help them with and what they're going to need.
Sure. What's your name?
Courtney Forsell.
In the end, of course, the people of Valley Verde, being as poor as they are, took the food that was offered that day. KVMR's Carolyn Crane was also in Cancun and Valley Verde as well. She told me that as she was leaving Valley Verde, she waved goodbye to a boy who was approximately 8 years old. She said that he wasn't laughing. She said that from the look he gave her, she believed he knew exactly what was going on and that he and his people were being exploited. She said she thought that he might use that awareness and anger to become the next Che Guevara. I said perhaps, or perhaps the next Osama bin Laden, or perhaps one day an angry man who goes to work every day in the Zona Hotelera comes back to Valley Verde and beats his wife and children. I left Valley Verde that day hoping that the people of this village realized that I was neither a free trade advocate or an environmental activist.
You have been listening to People's Tribune Radio. Valley Verde reflects the contradictions taking place in Mexico and around the world. The biggest contradiction is reflected in the use of free market. The free market advocacy groups talked about in the program, Collegiates for a Constructive Tomorrow and the Competitive Enterprise Institute, further expose these contradictions. First, according to ZMAG writer Patrick Bond, 8 million people in Mexico depend on maize as their source of income. Many of the farmers use the maize to sustain their families as well. Every year, wealthy U.S. agro exporters will dump cheap government-subsidized corn into Mexico's markets. When this occurs, the price of corn in Mexico drops well below its cost of production, thus forcing Mexican farmers, their workers, and families to lose tons of money that could better their living conditions. This is one contradiction because CFACT and CEI, who advocate for a free market, are handing out free GM products that could not have been created without government subsidies. Another contradiction made possible by GM technology is not that agribusiness can feed the world any more efficiently. They've been able to do that for years, Rather, these wealthy agribusiness firms not only have to use poor people in attempts to prove their GM products are not harmful, they can begin to patent the seeds in the world as well. For example, if a corporation like Monsanto went to Mexico and gathered a farmer's corn, they could determine the genetic makeup of the corn and patent the Mexican corn as Monsanto's. As a result, the poor farmer who is already suffering in Mexico may be forced to purchase corn seed from Monsanto because Monsanto now owns the genetic makeup of the Mexican corn. In the past, a farmer could buy seeds and use its crops to collect more seeds and grow more corn the following year. This is where GM technology creates another problem. Not only can an agribusiness control a crop through patents, but seeds genetically altered into Terminator seeds will no longer reproduce. This is good for the free market, but this means that when a poor Mexican farmer or any farmer in the world buys GM Terminator seeds, they can collect all the seeds that they want. But when it comes time to grow crops for next year, they will be surprised when the crop doesn't grow because of the genetic alterations. Basically, the large agribusiness corporation with its government-subsidized GM product has forced the farmer into a corner, and farmers will be forced to buy more Terminator seeds every year that they need or that they want to produce. The main argument used against people fighting GM products is that being critical of the potential product is a hindrance to the millions starving in the world. The problem is, we have had the technology to feed the world without genetically altering our food supply. Also, the move to globalized capitalism has forced a free market in many countries. With this in mind, more people are hungry today than ever before. The free market is not going to feed the poor and the hungry of this world. If large businesses are ever able to create a lucrative GM food market, the businesses would no longer benefit from giving products away. The collapse of Cancun's World Trade Organization ministerial reflects the poor countries are tired of being played, fed up with the rules of wealthy individuals and transnational corporations. The next PTR focuses on the collapse and the end of the WTO ministerial. That is it for this edition of People's Tribune Radio. PTR is brought to you by the League of Revolutionaries for a New America. The League advocates for a cooperative society, where all who see the dangers of today join efforts to educate, invigorate, and unleash a powerful movement that can deliver the promises of tomorrow. For information on the League, to schedule speakers, donate, or purchase our other print and media resources, please call 1-800-691-6888. That's 1-800-691-6888. Or visit us on the internet at www.lrna.org. I'm Kenny Shook, and on behalf of the League of Revolutionaries for a New America, thanks for listening, and please tune in next time for another edition of People's Tribune Radio.